Peter, chapter 1. I got to share this. Dr. Cash, I was talking with somebody this week, and they were telling me that the first time that they came to the church and we asked Dr. Cash to come up and take up the offering, they thought it was a joke. And I thought that was so cute. Yeah, call him Dr. Cash and have him come and receive the offering, you know, the money. That's his real name. Let's pray. Father, I know that right now we could say amen, hug necks, and go home and feel ministered to you. But Lord, I know that you've given me the word for the day and you've moved upon the hearts of those who will listen to you. And what you've got to say to us today is special. You've already ministered to us the message. And Lord, all we're going to do now is underline it and simplify it. And I ask you, Lord God, to be with us. I ask for your anointing. Father, you've called us to our place. You've called us and you've placed us where you wanted us. Father, I ask now for peace. I ask, Lord God, that the anointing of God can flow, that it will be received. As the hearts have been prepared and the seed can go forth now, and Lord God, your word does accomplish that you've sent it forth to do. And we all are in agreement and we all say, amen. Amen. Lance, maybe you, Monty, can bring my board over some. I'm going to use it in a few minutes. What I want to start talking about, and I'll talk about it a little bit over the next few weeks, is I want to talk about how to have a renewed mind. Now, if you're like me, you've been saved for numbers of years, and people have told you that you needed to have a renewed mind. How many's ever heard somebody say, your mind must be renewed? Okay? But if you're like me, they never told you how. Am I right now? And we want the renewed mind, but they've never told us how to get it. And what I want to try to emphasize on, and what I want to try to accomplish, and what I want to try to do and ask the Lord God, the Holy Spirit and Father to help us and lead us to do, is not just tell us that we need these things, but to show us how to get it. I want Him to show us how we're supposed to have a renewed mind and how to get that renewed mind. So I want you to be praying about this as you pray for me. Say, Father, help the pastor to know how to get a renewed mind so that he can help us know how to get a renewed mind. What I want to specifically talk about today is understanding what has and what will happen to you. In other words, what God has already done in your life, but then going from that point and going on to where God wants to do in your life. I want to make it clear where you're at and make it clearer where you're going. But to understand where you're going, you need to understand where you're at. If you don't know where you're at, you don't know how to get to where you want to go. You might need to go north and you should go south or whatever. So that's what we're trying to do, is see where we're at and then see where we need to go. 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to read verse 3, a very familiar scripture. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again." Everybody say, caused us to be born again. Caused us to be born again. One more time. Caused us to be born again. Okay. To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has caused us to be born again. Now, to understand this principle, you need to understand the natural principle of how you were birthed. None of you, not a single person in here, had anything to do with your conception. Not a one of you, did you? None of you. See, your father and your mother got together, and they decided that they were going to have a baby. All right, they got together anyhow, and you were the results of that togetherness. And you didn't have anything to say about it. You didn't vote on it. It just happened. And that's what happened. And you came forth. 9 months later, 6 months later, some of us were probably late. Probably most of this group was probably late. We came forth. Now, in that birth, while you were in your mother's womb, and as the as that happened, there was a genetic code that was imparted into your being. Now that genetic code, I can prove this to you, because you might look like one of your parents more than the other, but there's something about you that resembles your parents. You may have your father's hair, your mother's nose, your grandmother's eyes, your grandfather's hands, something, but there's a genetic code that has come into your being. And that genetic code now dictates what you are. You didn't have anything to do about it, did you? You couldn't say, I don't want this. You didn't vote on it. It happened. That's the way it was. And when you were born, that's when you were conceived, all that took place, and it happened. Now, in the realm of the spirit, it's very similar. In the natural, your great umpteenth time, your thousandth time over grandfather, Adam, imparted into you some things. Whether you wanted to or not, they're there. Whether you didn't vote on it, it's just the way it was, it's there. And I can prove that to you, because nobody ever set you down and said, well, today we're going to learn how to get angry. How many of you learned how to get angry without anybody telling you? Okay? Nobody told you. Are we going to learn how to lie today? Are we going to learn how to steal today? See, nobody. That is the Adamic nature that comes in because it's the rebellion. The Adamic nature is a rebellious nature. And that's what happens in the realm of the spirit world. Now, what God did is caused us to be born again. In other words, we didn't vote on it. He did it. You didn't wake up one day and say, today I'm going to get born again. It wasn't your decision. It was His. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says that He chose us from what? The foundations of the world. Can you understand that? And He predestined us according to His good pleasure. We didn't vote on it. He just did it. And that's the very same way He caused us to be born again. Now, when you understand that principle, it will bring you peace in your life. Because what you didn't get, you can't get loose. Now, you got to hear me right. I'm not saying you can't get out of the will of God and you can't suffer tremendous consequences. But what I am saying is, you didn't work for it, you can't work to lose it. Now, I want you to hear me right, because I think I'm balanced on this. I believe you can sin. I believe you can live in hell on earth. Okay? And be saved. In fact, I know a lot of people. Now, the Adamic nature is that nature of rebellion that dwells within us. When God caused us to be born again, we didn't vote on it. God did it. And what happened to us is He came into our being and rebirthed us. We are born again of His Spirit. He comes into our being. He does a work on our heart. He puts His Spirit within us. And now all of a sudden, things change. Rather than want to rebel against God, you want to be pleasing to God. The book of 1 John tells you how to know if you're saved or not. The whole purpose of that book is to let you know whether you're saved or not. And chapter 3, verse 9 says this, that if you are truly born of God, you will not continue in sin. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you can't sin? No. What it means is that when you sin, you hate it. It bothers you. It eats at you. And you don't like sin. You hate sin. The verse says this. The verse says, no one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, what that means is that you can't continue in sin. And when you sin, it grieves you, because you know that you have bothered Father's heart, that you have broken His heart, that you have come against in rebellion to what He wanted you to do. You know if you're saved or not, because when you sin, you hate it. Now, if you can live in sin, and you can sin and it doesn't bother you, read my lips and hear me clear, you're not saved. And the reason I'm saying this to you is so that you will get saved. But if you can dwell in sin and practice sin and live for the next sin, Folks, you're not saved. Now, you can read that. That's not what I'm here for today. What I'm talking to is saved people. Okay? I'm talking to you saved people today. Because what I'm talking about is after that's happened to us, being renewed in our minds. Now, I want to look at Ezekiel chapter 36. And in this passage of Scripture, this Old Testament passage of Scripture, I'm going to show you what happened to you as the Spirit of God came into your being, as it came time for you to be born into the kingdom of God. And you might say, well, Delver, that's a mighty strange place to be going to the Old Testament to try to teach us a New Testament principle. Well, it's not a New Testament principle. Do you remember that Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, you know, Lord, tell me about this stuff. And Jesus said, what? You must be born again. Well, Nicodemus said, how do I get back into my mama's womb? I'm old. And he says, Jesus said, you being a teacher, don't understand this? See, the born-again experience is not just a New Testament experience. He told Nicodemus before the cross, you must be born again. Everybody say, he told Nicodemus before the cross, you must be born again. Okay? So it's not just a New Testament principle. It is a principle. When God does a work in a person's heart, this is what's going to happen to you. Beginning in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanliness, and I will make you the grain, and I will call for the grain and the multitude and multiply it, and I will not bring a famine on you, and I will multiply the fruit tree and the produce of the field, and you will not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. Now, who is doing all that? Does he do all those seven things? I'm going to go by them one by one. There's seven of them there. Does he say that he will do it? Do you get to do any of that? What you get to do is verse 31. Right, you get to do that. But verse 31 surmises what you get to do. 31. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. After God does a work in your heart, after God does a work, He comes and He dwells in you with His Spirit, what is your response, Don? You loathe sin. And when you sin, you hate yourself. Now, folks, that's how you know if God's there. If you sin and you love it, God ain't there. But if you sin and you hate it, then God has caused you to be born again. Now, this is the point where most Christians dwell. They stop right there. Oh, they live in sin, they hate sin, but they never go the next step, which is being renewed in your mind. They fight the same sin year after year. They go around the same mountain year after year. They cry out, they oh God, deliver me. They produce the same fruit year after year. Am I right? See, and many of us do the same thing. And the reason is we've never been renewed in our mind. Now let me go through these seven things real quickly, because I want you to know where you're at. First of all, there's a choosing that goes in verse 24. He says, I will take you from the nations. God took us. We didn't get to vote on it. He just did it. He took us out of the kingdom of darkness and translated us into kingdom of light, or His dear Son. You didn't do it. You can't do it. You can try all your life to be a good person, but you'll still be dwelling in the kingdom of darkness. The only way you can do this is if God does it. So that's what happens to us. He says the second thing that's going to happen to you is He's going to cleanse you from filthiness and idols. Now let me lay this for you like this. Most of you heard me teach on the tabernacle of Moses. You come into that tabernacle, and what is the first thing that you meet? First thing you meet. I have taught this, folks. You better come up with the right answer. Tabernacle of Moses. What is the first thing that you'll meet when you come into those gates? What? The altar. Everybody say the altar. That's not difficult. At the altar is where the sacrifice came and was handed over to God and said, you do with it with what you want to do. Paul says it this way, and I'm going to read it in just a little while. Present your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, and your reasonable worship. So what we're talking about is you come in, the first thing He does is He chooses you. He says, I'm going to take you. And you come to God, and this is the way that you should be when you got born again. When you come to God, you should have came and humbled yourself before God and say, God, here I am. I've tried to run my life. I can't. I've made a mess of it. I'm going to present myself to you now as a sacrifice. You take me and do whatever you want to do with me. Consume me by the fire of your spirit. Cut me up and feed me to the people. Do whatever you want to do with me, Lord. And that's the brazen altar effect. That's the first thing that happens. The second thing, He says, I'm going to cleanse you from your filthiness. Second thing, what's the second thing that you meet? The labor bowl. Now we're getting it. Now, you take these pieces. He takes you. You're the sacrifice. He's taken you. He's filleted you. How many is being filleted? He takes you now. And it's your mess. Are you a mess? And you need to be washed in that labor bowl. He washes you in the labor bowl, the washing of the water of the Word. Water baptism. Okay? And He's washing you and He's cleansing you up. And so that's where God's moving you. And He wants you to go on back into the final area, which is the Holy of Holies, back to the altar, back to the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth. He wants you to come back there where there's no light but Him. All you can see is Him. No, there's no artificial light by the lampstand. There's no outside light. It's all the light of God. So that's what He's doing here. The first thing He's doing, He's choosing you. You come to the brazen altar. You offer yourself up. Second thing He does is cleanses you. The third thing He does is He does a work on your heart. And He says, I will give you a new heart and I will put My Spirit within you. God does a work on our heart. Now, King James Bible, not the King James Bible, but the New Testament, Paul in the New Testament says this way. He says, He'll circumcise the heart. God says, I'm going to give you a new heart or a new kind of a heart, and I'm going to put My Spirit in you. That's the seed of God. That's the seed that comes to dwell in you and to be productive in your life. That's God coming and dwelling in your heart. That's His Spirit. He comes into you. Now, what is the things that the Spirit does? The first thing the Spirit will do is lead you and guide you into what? All truth. That's the first thing the Spirit will do in our life, is to take you into truth. The second thing He'll does, is He says, I'll show you things to come. And the third thing that He wants to do is glorify Jesus Christ in you. And that's where the Spirit comes into our lives, into the believer's life. He comes in. The other stuff the Spirit does is basically to the world. He convicts the world of sin. Okay? The devil will convict you enough of your sin. Don't worry about the Holy Spirit doing it. The Holy Spirit is going to take you out of sin. Okay? He comes into your life to lead you into truth. How many know sin's a lie? He wants to take you to truth. So that's the third thing He does. He says, I'll put My Spirit, I'll put a new heart in you and a new spirit in you. Now, can you get a new heart by yourself? Who gives you this new heart? Say, my heart is God's problem. Okay. And when you were born again, listen to me now, when you were born again, you got a new one or a different kind of a one. You hear that? That's been done. If you are saved, your heart has been dealt with. He has dealt with your heart. He's put His Spirit in you. And Jesus said it this way, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your heart is a desire to please God. You don't want to hurt Father. Do you? Does anybody want to hurt Father after they're saved? You see, after you don't want to use God's name in vain, and if it slips out, what's the first thing you do? Am I right? You don't want to do anything that will grieve Father because of your heart condition now, because His Spirit is there. That didn't bother you before you got saved. Did it? In fact, you've probably seen how verbally you could talk. You wanted to see how bad you could sound. But once you're saved, you see, this changes, and all of a sudden the heart's changing and the Spirit's changed you. And now He's taking you, and He's taking you someplace into truth. That's the fourth thing that He does. He works in our lives. He leads us by His Spirit. The fifth thing, He fulfills His purpose. He says there, I will be your God. You will live in the land that I gave your forefathers. Now, what He's saying here is that I'm going to take you into your purposes. I'm going to take you where you need to be. How many want to be where God wants you to be? See, you can't get there without Him. He wants to take you to your inheritance, to take you to your purpose, to where He wants you to live and where He wants you to be and where He wants you to abide. He's going to take you to that land, to that place, to that promised land. Each of us have a promised land. Each of us have a covenantal relationship with God that we can enter into a place and there receive every blessing He has. That's what He wants to do. That's number five. Number six, He delivers us and blesses us. He says there, I will save you from your uncleanliness, and I will call the grain, and I'll multiply it. Now notice in this verse that the deliverance from uncleanliness is directly related to the blessings of God. Now hear me. As you allow God to work in your life and clean you, your uncleanliness, your purity rises. At the same time, what else rises? The blessings of God in your life. Do you see that? That's why people that live in sin aren't blessed. That's the next thing He does. Now what we want to do here is we want somebody to lay hands on us, cast all the devils out of us, so we'll be pure. Folks, it doesn't work that way. Show you in just a second, that's going to come by the renewing of your mind. You might have some devils that need cast out. Now saying that, you know how I feel about that. What I'm saying here, the renewing of your mind doesn't come by casting a devil out of you. Now, the seventh thing He does is the blessings continue. He says, you will not receive again famine. He says, I will multiply. He says all these things. He'll multiply everything. It's not just a one-time blessing, folks. It's a daily walking blessing. When God is in your life and you're submitting to Him, you continue in blessing. Now, all those things is what He says He'll do. 11 times in those verses that I've just read you, He says, I will. I will. I will. This is what He does. What the end of His work in your born-again experience is simply this. You loathe sin. Okay? You hate sin. Your mind's not renewed. You just hate sin. I can prove it to you. When you were saved, when you got saved, how many of you found that you really wanted to please Father? You really did. Give me hands. You really did. Something in you wanted to please God. You never wanted to do that before. That's how you know you were saved, is because all of a sudden you wanted to do right. But how many of you still fought the same fights, thought the same thoughts, battled the same battles? How many? Everybody, see, because your mind's not renewed yet. Being born again brings you to the place that you can see the kingdom of God. You see where you're supposed to go. It's not getting you into it. Now, you have the ability now to enter into it, and that's going to come by the renewing of the mind. How many is with me? You see what I've said? Now, what I want you to see is this is what's happened in your life. This is what's taken place in your life. This is where you're at. You loathe sin. You loathe yourself when you sin. If that's not what's happening in your life, then, folks, you need to examine your experience with God. If you love to practice sin, you love to stay in sin, you better stay in your skin. But if you love to stay in sin, then you probably aren't born again. Now, you hate sin. See if I want to go on. Romans chapter 12. This is the key part of what I want to share with you today. I want you to see where you're at and show you where this church is going. Where if you remain in this ministry, under this ministry, and under this teaching, this is what happens in your life. I just don't preach to you salvation. In fact, seldom do I evangelistically preach, because most of us are saved. We understand the principles of being saved. I trust God that if there's one or two that's not, then He's going to bring you to salvation. I can't save you anyhow. I can lead you, I can help you, I can show you some things, but it is God that does the work. Now, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And I'll start in just a second. Let me say this first. You would say, Pastor, I hate sin. When I sin, I hate it. But as much as I hate sin, I keep sinning. As much as I hate going over these same problems, I keep going over them. As much as I hate battling these same battles, I keep battling them. What have I got to do? You have got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what you doubt is your salvation. I just showed you how to know if you're saved or not. I think I proved to you that you're saved. What we've got to understand now is that salvation, and hear me right because I'm going to say it about twice, that salvation causes you to hate sin. Salvation does not cause your mind to be renewed. God saves you, but you renew your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I said that's what you do. That's what Ezekiel 36 is talking about. You come before God. God, I don't understand this. I'm doing it by faith. How are you saved? Through grace, by faith. So I don't understand it. Did anybody ever really understand what was happening when you got saved? I didn't. I just knew I was miserable. I was a miserable person. Looking at me on the outside, you wouldn't have known it. You'd have thought I was just the happiest sinner in the world, having all kinds of fun. Inside, I was a mess. And I knew I didn't like me. You wouldn't have liked me. Nobody liked me. And I was a miserable person. And what happened in my life is that for a couple of weeks, I found myself wanting to talk to Christians. And I couldn't believe that I really wanted to talk to Christians. I thought they were the dumbest people. They didn't know how to have fun. And all they ever did want to do is go to church and tell me that I needed to get saved. Well, all of a sudden, I found myself drawn to Christians. And on top of that, I found myself going to bed at night, Danny, wanting to read my Bible. Or in the morning, because I was on third shift, and I'd go home, nobody would be there, so I wouldn't want to read my Bible. I'd lay there in the bed, reading the Bible. I didn't understand what was happening. One Sunday morning, I woke up, I laid there, looking at my wife. I thought it off that morning, because see, I wanted to go to church. I wanted to go to church. I didn't say anything. Next Sunday morning, I woke up. I laid there. Wife finally opened her eyes, and I said, "I'm going to go to church this morning." She about fell out of the bed. She had to get clothes to go, because her dresses were long. See? She had to get clothes to go. We got ready. We finally got there. I finally, about 3 weeks later, prayed the sinner's prayer. But what God had done in my life had already happened. It happened when He chose me. Not when a preacher shook my hand. Now what the preacher did was help me get my mind renewed. But God saved me, folks. Okay? Now that's the way it works. He does all that stuff. A preacher can help you. A person can help you, explain to you and help you understand. But it's God who's going to do it. Now, that's what happened. Something like that happened to you. That might not have been exactly what happened to you, but you began to feel God's pulling on you and choosing you and drawing you. No man, Jesus said, no man can come to me except what? The Father, draw him. So that's what happens, is the Father draws you to Himself. And that's when the choosing and the born-again experience truly happens. That's when all of a sudden you start seeing spiritual things. That's all of a sudden when you start wanting to enter into a spiritual life. That's the kingdom of God. That's what God does all that. I started hating sin. Didn't want to do what I used to do. Now, then you're a prime candidate for the renewing of your mind. You can't have your mind renewed unless you first presented yourself as a living sacrifice to God. You can't do it. You can try to get things straightened out of your mind without presenting yourself to God. If you have never said, God, take me and use me, consume me with the fire of your spirit, fillet me, do whatever that you need to do with me, wash me from my filthiness and uncleanliness, and take me, God, then you need to say that, because you can't enter into verse 2 until you've offered yourself as a living sacrifice. Then verse 2 says this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Renewed. What's some other translations? Transformed. What's some other translations? Renewed, transformed. The word that maybe we can is reprogrammed. Changed. Be renewed. The Greek word there is metamorpho. And it's like a butterfly. I could use a frog, but I think a butterfly is better. A worm put in a caterpillar and comes out a butterfly. How many of you sometimes feel like worms when you sin? Well, God wants to take you and put you in a caterpillar. Put you into a cocoon and bring you out a butterfly. That's what he wants to do. He wants to metamorpho you. He wants to change you, transform you, work a metamorphosis in you, change you to something new, brand new. To the renewing, be transformed to the renewing of your what? Of your mind. That you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me say this. This is not the message. The will of God is not in three dimensions. Good, perfect, and acceptable. God's will is good. God's will is acceptable, and God's will is perfect. You don't have the good will of God, the acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. You get God's will. It's all good. It's all acceptable. It's all perfect. What God wants to do now is to bring you into this place where you can be renewed in your mind. We come to Father. We say, Father, here I am. You got to take me. You got to use me. And then this is what I want to say today. I'll read it, so I'll say it like I wrote it. We are transformed, changed, or metamorphosed from the world by renewing of the mind, not by the born-again experience. Now read verse 2 and see if I told you the truth. You're not renewed by offering yourself to God as a living sacrifice. You see that? How you are renewed in your mind, how you are changed from the and transformed from the ways of the world is by the renewing of your mind. This is so critical that you hear me now. People want to get saved and everything be fixed. It doesn't work that way. You're saved, but things aren't fixed. You're fighting the same fights, having the same financial problems, the same marital problems. Why? Because you're not changing anything. You're not transforming anything. You're not being reprogrammed in anything. You're saved and going to church, well, good. But how many knows people get divorced when they go to church too? People have financial problems in church too. Are you hearing me now? See, this is what I'm trying to say. This, what God wants us to do is after we've come and presented ourselves, God, take me and use me and burn me up and consume me with your fire of your spirit. After you've caused me to hate sin, now cause me to be renewed in my mind. Bring me to the place that I can be renewed. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind, not by our born-again experience. That's clear, isn't it? Okay. When you read it and when you take a little time there and you see what I'm trying to say, you'll see that. One deals with the heart, And the hatred of sin. When God saves you, that's when He deals with your heart, He changes your thought life, and you start hating sin. What the other one deals with, the thinking and the mind. One, the Lord God does. You can't do. You can't change your heart. You can change your mind. That one you do. Now you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And what we want, and George, you probably know it, you and Agnes probably know this, because people want to come to you, and you cast out all their problems, right? How many of you would love for George Hammond to come lay his hand on you and cast out your financial problems? It won't work. Because what it's going to take is renewing in the mind. Now, this is what I'm trying to say today. You know where you're at. Now, this is where God wants us to go. Now, the proof of this is most Christians live their life never understanding the will of God. How many of you know Christians? See, if you get your mind renewed, then you'll understand the will of God, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. That you get that by getting your mind renewed. How many of you know Christians that have no idea what God's purpose is? They think their God's purpose is to take them to a mansion in heaven. They do not understand that God says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He does not understand, have any concept, that he says, pray when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth. They have no concept of that. And see, they stop right there with Ezekiel 36. They never went into Romans 12 and 2. And that's the difference. See, that's what happens here. People get their minds renewed. We start thinking differently. If you're fighting the same thing that you were fighting last year, then you're not hearing. You're enduring. But you need to be hearing something that's going to be life-changing. Jesus changed people's lives. His purpose wasn't to take them to a mansion in glory. Now I'm going to glory. I'm not taking that away from you. But understand that while you're here, there's a real purpose for your life. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, don't turn. Don't turn. Write it down if you want to. Don't turn. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, therefore, let that mind be in you, what? Which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul says, we have, what? The mind of Christ. But folks, we've got to let it go forth. We've got to let it come forth. You see, something happens when things start coming forth out of us. Now, all right. Jesus said, John chapter 7, he says this, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. He's talking, he said, out of your innermost being, out of your heart, out of the main part of you, out of the depth of your being. And I'm just going to put heart because that's really what we're talking about. Out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. Turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. I'll be there in just a second with you. Proverbs chapter 4. King James Bible says, out of your innermost belly. The NASV says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Now, if I understand the scriptures correctly, after I'm born again, after God has dealt with my heart and my spirit, I have a new heart. His spirit now dwells in me. I hate sin. That's what he's done for me. Now, Jesus says, then out of that heart, out of that area that God has dealt with, will flow rivers of living water. And in Proverbs chapter 4, let's start with verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of what? Your heart. And for they are what? Life. How many knows that the words that you're reading here are life? They are life to those who find them. How many knows that you just don't stumble upon these things? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. That word means seek it. Seek God for the answer. Seek God for the wisdom. See, what we're doing here is this, is if any of you find it, verse 22, the second part, after you have, for they are life to those who find them, and what? Health to all their whole body, their whole being, spirit, their soul, their body. There is life and there is health in that thing you have laying in your lap. In the words of God, there is every answer to every problem that you'll ever face. Without that, you're living in the world. You're not conforming from it. You're being conformed to it. And there's nothing but death and disease. And he says here in verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow what? Springs of life. King James says, issues of life. Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Now, with that in mind, let me try to give you this. In this heart, God says he's going to put a spirit in your being. He's going to put his spirit. That's his spirit in there. Jesus says now, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And then it says in verse 38 of John chapter 7, he says, but he spake of the what? The Holy Spirit, which had not yet been given. But out of your bellies, he says, from this spirit thing that's inside of you, after God comes and dwells in your heart and puts his spirit in you, it's going to flow rivers of life. And Proverbs helps us understand a little bit better. Springs of life. Springs or issues of life. So how comes these issues of life? Let's do some issues of life. How about a marriage? Is marriage a pretty good issue of life? Okay. Out of when it comes out of your heart, how many of you really want your marriage to be a biblical marriage, and you want it, in your heart, you know that's what you want. You want the blessings of God on your marriage. You want your marriage ordained, orchestrated, lined up with the principles of God's Word. You really want, as it comes out of you, when you think about your marriage, that's how you really want it. Okay? Okay. And when it comes out of here, it's perfect, it's pure, it's holy. But guess what it's got to go through? What's it got to go through? Got to travel through my mind. Now, something happens to it when it goes through my mind. Let's use some more. Okay? How about finances? Let's use finances. You really want God's blessings on your finances. Man, you want to do it way God, you want 8-1-1 in your life. You want to be able to give and it shall be given unto you. You want all these things that we've talked over these last several weeks. You want all these things in your life. How many? See, that's what you want. That's out of your heart. Out of your heart shall flow these things. But guess what it's got to go through? Children. Issue of life is children. You want obedient children. Children blessed of God. You want rebellious children. You want them raised right. You want to do what God wants you to do with these children. And boy, that's in your heart. But boy, when it comes out of there, it's got to go through your mind. How many see what I'm showing you here now? See? Very, very simple principle. Very, very simple thing. They say I'm teaching simple things now. Let's use some other ones. How about your workplace, your occupation? You want to work in a godly place? Boy, issue of life, that's work. Does the Bible tell you you're supposed to work? Okay, you're supposed to work. Does the Bible tell you how you're supposed to respond to your boss? It does, doesn't it? Bible says to submit to him as to who? The Lord. But boy, and that's what you want to do. That's what you really want to do because you're saved. But boy, that thing's got to go through something. What's it got to go through? Okay, whatever you want to look at. You can use finances, your children, your work area, your marriage, anything that you want. It comes out of your heart pure. It comes out of your heart pure. Let's use an example, a mountain stream. Comes out of that mountain, out of that spring. It's been purified by the earth. It's come through, and boy, it's just clean. It comes out pure. Comes down from the mountain. Comes down, and it goes by. It goes by a sewage disposal. Goes by a redox, okay? And here it comes, and this, they're dumping this stuff, this dung, this mess into that spring. And well, nothing live in it. I mean, no fish, plants, tadpoles, nothing. Nothing will live in it. Everything's dead in that spring. And this is the redox spring. Okay, it's coming. And eventually, this spring is going to come into what? With all these other tributaries, it's going to run into what? This isn't difficult. River. Okay, river. And this one's polluted. Very polluted. And it comes in here and it's very polluted. What's it going to do when it gets to the other waters? It'll pollute them. What I want us to see is that this is your life. This is the river of life that we've got. Okay? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is your life. If your marriage is messed up when it comes out of your mind, it's going to pollute, not necessarily your finances, but it's going to pollute the rest of your life. It'll take your joy. It'll take your finances. It'll mess up your children. Talk with me now. This is one of the simplest things I've ever done. Okay? Your finances aren't in order, aren't in God's will. They come through your mind, they get messed up. You spend money on foolish things, and it goes through your mind. You want to do what's right. You know where God wants you to go. And it comes out of there pure. But it comes through your mind. What happens to it? Polluted, and more of your life gets. Your children, same deal. And the more that we're not conformed unto His work, and to His, our minds aren't conformed and purified, the more our life gets messed up and polluted. One area can pollute your whole life. But if you got more than one area messed up, then your whole life's polluted. And that's just the way you live. You live in messes. It stinks. There's garbage being dumped into your life. And wherever you flow, there's a stench. But if we do what God tells us to do and be renewed in the spirit of our mind, this mind becomes clear and pure, and it cleans up all this other stuff. And it comes through pure. See that? Oh, that's mine, if you wouldn't want to write me. And your life is pure. And you live blessed. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. It comes out of you. God's done the work. God's done that. You ought to praise God because you want to do what's right. The problem is no longer God's. You can live in that from now on. How many of you have known Christians that have been saved all their life, but still fight the very same things they fought the day they got saved? Do you know why now? Because they never entered into Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. They never had their minds changed, metamorphosed, renewed, reprogrammed. Reprogrammed is a real good word today because a lot of us are messing with computers. We understand when you reprogram something, you get a whole other program. Now, that's all I want to say today. Now, how do we transform, change, metamorphosis? How do we reprogram or be renewed in our mind? And that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be looking at what God wants to do. But I want to give you three quick ones, three quick things just to tell you what you've got to do. The first thing you've got to do is search out God's ways. Search out God's way. He that thirsts shall be filled. Okay? You gotta thirst for these things. You gotta want these things in your life. It's wonderful when you come to me and say, "What does the Bible say about this?" And you know, and that's fine, folks. And please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say to you. But you'll be much more diligent, and God will speak to you much clearer if you will search it out. The Bereans, when Paul came there, they didn't come to Paul and get Paul to explain to them what the Bible said. What did they do? Search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. When you got a problem, I love to talk to you. I love to counsel you. But I'm telling you, the answer is here. I only know a little bit. You won't tell me the whole thing. You'll tell me what you want me to know. And then I have to depend on discernment and the Spirit of God to reveal to me what I really need to tell to you. But the best thing for you to do is find out God's ways. Number first thing you got to do is search out God's ways. Second thing you got to do is compare those things with your ways. Now, sometimes you may be functioning in God's ways. Don't change that. Change what isn't. Change what is different from God's ways. And then that's going to do something good in the rest of your life. It's going to purify your mind. And the final thing that you do is reprogram your ways to His ways. Search out His ways. Compare them to your ways. What that's going to equal, if you'll change them, is God's ways. What's going to happen in your life is out of your belly will flow rivers. It'll come through a pure mind. Your marriage will be blessed. Your finances will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Your workplace will be blessed. Everything that your hands touches will prosper because you're working it through a renewed mind. You're working it the way God wants you to work it. I've asked the Lord how He wanted me to terminate. You know, I don't know sometimes whether to make declarations. I don't know. I just ask the Lord and kind of depend on Him, and what how to end this thing. And I think what I want you to do is just stand right where you're at. Pardon? I want you to make some declarations with me. How many of you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You have never come to the place that you hate sin. You love sin. You love to and hey, that's where I was. I loved sin. I know what I'm talking about. You love to sin. You look forward to the next sin. That's God. That's what God is trying to do to you right now. You wouldn't be here if He wasn't trying to deal with your heart. He wants to bring you out of that situation into where you'll hate sin. He wants to do something in your heart. Anybody here does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wants to be renewed in your mind, take that step so that you can begin to be renewed in your mind. Anybody, would you lift your hand? I want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just want to pray with you. Okay. Everybody here is born again. What you need to do now is what I need to do is allow God to help me renew my mind. Okay? So let's make that declaration. Father, in the name of Jesus...